This is the Tribe and Dish Podcast, talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy.
We haven't even started yet!
To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
David West, man, he really wants to win a ring.
He really does.
Kevin Rayfuse.
But I don't want to be stuck in the limbo of mediocrity. I don't want to gamble that maybe one day there's a Harden trade out there. I don't want to gamble that some team is going to be stupid and let a Steve Nash walk out the door and go to Phoenix the way Dallas did, where you stumble upon a superstar.
And Justin Kuczak.
I know. I just feel like they got this guy and he's just been injured since. Like, I'm curious to see how they work him into lineups. Like, they've gotten so used to not having him. Like, how do they end up using him?
The Tribe and Dish Podcast.
We start right now.
So one of the best things about holiday season is ugly sweaters. And Justin and I are going to an ugly sweater bar crawl this season. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that you do around Christmas. Tim is not going.
No, he is. He doesn't want to.
But my question is like having an ugly sweater that you just stash away in the closet like a thing to do now because of like these ugly sweater bar crawls? Like I specifically have two so that in case I have to go to another one, I can change it up.
Are you going to wear the one that says take me gnome tonight?
I really want to get, there's one with Ken Bone, you remember from the Presidents or the Bays. There's one that's just him and then on the top it says Bone Zone want that so bad.
Wasn't Ken Bone like, didn't they find out he was in some really weird stuff?
He's like a creepy dude. Like they kind of found out like because of his social media, he's just kind of creepy.
What do you mean by kind of creepy? Because that could go a lot of different ways.
I didn't really understand it, but like everyone was kind of like...
Go on Reddit and it's stuff that like I don't really kind of want to talk about.
He like treads the line with right and wrong of things that he can do on social media. And like things that
just
he's
Google. Being very evasive.
Because like,
it's like it's really weird, it's and I don't want to start this in the intro. Like
it's so weird. We don't want to talk about it on a podcast with zero FCC regulations.
No, I know, right. But like
I'm not arguing. It must be really weird.
It is kind of. It's just like it was like, oh, Ken Bone, this is so funny that I was like,
But anyway, besides the ugly sweaters, it kind of gets into this, and we got asked, or we're gonna do mailbag on this episode later.
We haven't done it in a while.
So we got a mailbag. We're going to do that. We got some great questions. But one of our questions was from our friends at Crazy Stats.
Oh, hold on. Because I Googled the Ken Bone. And the first link that came up was, Ken Bone's disturbing Reddit history shows he's not nearly as adorable as we thought. And that's the headline of the article.
Yep. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So that's a good indication. But anyway, Crazy Stats asked us, what's the worst Christmas gift you've ever received? And you two just right off the gate.
New
have answers and know what you're going with, because I got to think about it still, but you two are ready to go.
Well, so somebody somebody bought me, you know, those like things that go on the car and they're like antlers so you can like deck out your car.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those
people do
are
that
like,
with, like mustaches and such.
Yeah,
as
like
well.
I don't get the point of dressing your car to look like a reindeer.
No.
So I got that as a Christmas present and immediately just like put it in the closet and never looked at it again. I also don't really like getting clothes. I feel like it's a cop out.
Really?
I don't like. My own clothes.
Like
man.
I don't only get clothes, but I enjoy getting clothes.
I'm not a big clothes guy. I don't like receiving clothes. I'd rather get something I can actually like have fun doing or something.
Dude, Ken Bone, man. He's a participant in several quote NSFW forums, and I'm reading some of these posts.
Why? I told you don't want to go in there. Lying.
Your Christmas gifts.
That's weird. So my sister 3 years ago got me a taco.
He put her on blast too. Holy cow.
Yeah,
you didn't even
call her out.
No, I love my sister. But she, 3 years ago, she got me a taco salad tortilla oven baker where you put the tortilla in the oven in the little shell.
Wait, yeah, what?
So there's like a
yeah, no, I get what you're talking about.
A shell that you, a piece of metal you can put in an oven or whatever to toast your tortilla for your taco salad, and then you take the tortilla and you put it
so
in.
So it's that way, it's like a you can eat the shell, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And this thing has literally been sitting in my kitchen pantry in the box since then. And I know she thinks I like Mexican food. Let me tell you something about Mexican food.
Well, you do like Mexican food.
I do. Taco salad's not Mexican food. Having been somebody that spent a large amount of time in Mexico, they don't have taco salads. It's not a thing.
It's a taco or it's not.
Well, they might have a salad.
But it's not together. They don't combine it.
No, that's not a Hispanic dish.
All right.
Period. They don't sell it. And also, it doesn't make the salad any better. It's just a salad.
I will
and a
say
tortilla.
Though, I do like some taco salad, like with like ground beef.
Yeah,
like all the things in tacos.
You could just do the same thing to a salad,
right? But that's what I mean. Like, I like that. Like, there's a place down where I used to go to college that used to do like a really good taco salad. I used to get it all the time.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, but you could just do that to a salad.
You don't need to like take the time to toast your tortilla
and put it in there. No, it would taste the same out of a salad bowl.
Right. Right.
All right. Real quick, favorite types of salad. Go.
Chicken Caesar.
Yeah, chicken Caesar.
All right. Wow, that was unanimous.
I
also
love
going
chicken
Caesar
salad for dinner at least once a week.
Yeah. Actually, me too. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's so easy to make too.
Yeah. And then you feel healthy after.
Yeah, you feel healthy.
I tried out every time I do it, I try to put less and less Caesar dressing on it, because I know like that's the bad part of this, like I shouldn't put too much. I really try to skimp, and then like I'll take a bite and it's like very leafy, like it's uh-huh. very leafy.
But
so
that's
I,
the best part of the salad.
Oh yeah, no, and then I just dump a whole bunch more.
When we went to summer league, we ate a lot of Caesar salad. I don't know about
oh,
you guys.
Yeah.
Caesar salad, if it's done right, is so good.
Yeah, no, it really is. Mm-hmm. And then like if you cook the chicken good too,
right?
It's like it's all about the chicken, I think. And
no,
the,
yeah, definitely.
The salad to dressing
chicken.
Ratio.
See, yeah. No, I kind of disagree. I think it's all about the Caesar dressing.
Fair, I got to be honest. I don't know what my worst Christmas gift is, and I think we've let this go on for too long anyway. So I'll get back to you guys there. Welcome to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast, which you're listening to right now. My name is Kevin Rafuse. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
Ball don't lie.
And behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Kuzart.
Girl, I love you, but I don't miss you.
Oh, man, that can be anybody.
Reggie Bullock.
Oh, I was going to go
really?
Matt Barnes,
yeah.
man.
He usually tweets such inspiring stuff.
That's inspiring.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, that guy is, you know, he's up there with Jamal Crawford of inspirational tweets.
Yeah, you got to love an inspirational tweet now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's all he tweets.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for that one.
Love me some Reggie Bullock Twitter.
Yeah. I feel like he's been, yeah, I feel like you picked a lot of Reggie Bullock tweets recently.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, this one was, I was just like, ah, oh, this one's funny. I got to go with it. I try to find the funnier ones.
See, if I was you, I would have done the tweet that just said marked.
Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah,
we'll
get
into that.
There's a whole lot to say there.
Well, every week we like to give someone a shout out for hooking us up with a nice review on iTunes because it really helps us move up the ranks and helps other people find us. This week we have one from.
Yeah, it's not a nice one.
Can we preface this by saying that we've been waiting weeks?
We're so excited.
Oh yeah, no, Tim sent me this weeks ago. It's great. Like I genuinely like. I love bad reviews if they're funny, and this is hilarious. So I'm really excited to read this.
Yes. It's probably the one that comes up first when you click on the reviews on iTunes.
Right, because we have 113 iTunes reviews, but they stack the five bad ones at the top. Right. Thanks, guys. Anyway, the review is by Ultimo. It's titled, and so without further ado, this week's review comes from America. It's by Ultimo. The title of the review is Self-Aggrandizing Ignorant Social Commentators. It is, as you guessed, a one-star review. And Ultimo says, if you want a show of three uninformed manboys making consistent and ignorant political statements bookended by hot take pontification, this podcast is for you. And all I have to say is Tim and Justin, he killed you guys.
Dude, I couldn't even be mad because I thought that the grammar in this was so good.
No, the vocabulary
yeah.
was
yeah,
great.
The, vocab
the grammar
was,
like, was great.
Here's,
yeah.
So
pontification,
the vocab,
that's a great word.
No, I know. I was surprised he knew it.
But to be honest, I read that. And you know, like when someone says a joke and it just goes immediately over your head? Uh-huh. I felt like that.
Because
I
was it like, was such, like, he used such big
yeah,
words.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't follow any of that. And I can't even use the context to follow this.
You know what's funny is that review came out, like, right before
it was
our Nintendo episode. And so I hope that he listened to the following episode and got the Nintendo.
I'm just trying to remember. What did we say?
I don't know. It was probably one comment in the middle of an episode one time where he didn't agree with us, and all of a sudden we were manboys.
It's okay.
With that were uninformed.
Yeah.
Social figures, though. He said something about social figures. I'm cool with that.
And we're making consistent and ignorant political statements, bookended by hot take pontification.
Hot take. Well, we literally have a segment, so.
Oh yeah.
That's
well,
fair.
That's what made the review so great is that on the next one we talked about Nintendo and then did hot takes from Reddit.
Great. Okay, perfect. So we just literally proved him right.
Anyway, thank you, though. Seriously, Ultimo, seriously, this is hilarious. Like, we really appreciate this review.
He's probably not listening anymore if he gave us a one
That's fine,
star.
But if he is by chance listening, or if by chance you know who this is, tell them we appreciate it. For
yeah, real. And you know, hats off to whoever your English teacher was in high school.
Yeah, yeah, seriously, a lot of like $3 million words right there.
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now, if you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, yesterday we told you that the Nets sent a $37 million offer sheet to Monta Ioannis from the Rockets. The Rockets have actually matched that, so he will be staying in Houston. Al Horford made comments saying that the Rockets were actually his second choice in free agency. James Harden made a comment on that saying, I thought we had a chance. I thought we had a really good chance, but obviously it didn't work out, which is fine. Rumors are heating up that the Mavs may trade Andrew Bogut closer to the playoff hunt. They're assuming that Bogut could fetch a first-round pick from a contender, and it will get them out of having to worry about him in the offseason because he's going to be a free agent. The Memphis Grizzlies have signed Tony Douglas with their injury hardship exemption. Douglas was on the Cavs during the preseason, and last season Douglas played 61 games for the Pelicans, averaging 8 points, 2.3 rebounds, 3 assists, in about 20 minutes per game. Rajon Rondo was suspended by Chicago for one game for conduct detrimental to the team. He sat out Monday's game against the Portland Trailblazers because of a heated post-game exchange following Saturday's loss to the Dallas Mavericks with an assistant coach. Rondo apologized to the coaching staff and his teammates on Sunday, and one source said he took responsibility for it. Congratulations to Giannis Antetokounmpo and Westbrook. They were named Players of the Week. Antetokounmpo averaged 24.3 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists, 3 steals, almost 4, by the way, and 3 blocks per game during the week, while leading the Bucks to a perfect 3-0 record. Westbrook led the Thunder to a 3-0 week again, as well behind averages of 30 points, 16 rebounds, and he leads the West in assists at 12.3. Exciting news for Toronto fans. The Raptors jumped from 8th to 3rd in the efficiency differential. Leading the league, of course, the Warriors at 12.5, the Clippers right behind at 9.9, and now the Raptors at 9.1. For all these stories and more, follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Just search Drive and Dish NBA. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
So it has been a minute, and I think that all three of us can unequivocally say, and I want to use a big word,
nice
because
word, yeah.
I felt like,
man, we're killing it today.
Well, it's not us, but well, I okay, felt inspired
you,
by
we
the
started killing it. You're on a roll right now. I got to work in some big word here.
I'm Googling top words to use, and I'm going to try to use three of them in this episode.
Good, good. And you got to mark it down when you do. But I think that unequivocally, we are all extremely happy that we have our favorite sponsor back on the show, and that is SeatGeek. The NBA season is back, and look, SeatGeek is a smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There is nothing like being in a game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it has never been easier or cheaper to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, whether you want to sit courtside, club seats, or the upper level. Personally, I have the SeatGeek app because it's free, whether or not you have an Apple or Android, and it is the easiest way to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, whether it's a concert, or it's a hockey game, or it's to go see the Jacksonville Jaguars, or it's to go see the Orlando Magic. And the best part of all this is that if you download the SeatGeek app and you put in the promo code DISH, you get $20 off your first purchase. We've all done it, and they just credit it right to your account. It's awesome. So download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo, and enter the code DISH, like Drive and Dish, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase.
Still looking, by the way.
I know. I'm disappointed, though, because on Drink Champs, they use befuddled all the time, and I really want to work befuddled in, because that's one of my favorite words, but then I just feel like I'm biting.
Yeah, that guy's used pontification.
Yeah, no, that's
I don't even
word.
Know what pontification means.
Pontification. officiate as a bishop, especially at mass.
But yeah, I feel like it's uplifting it, basically, because the pontification comes like from the Pope. The Pope is the pontiff. So it like comes from that.
Yeah, yeah.
It means we like uplift hot takes and we hold them to a high level.
So
to perform the office or duties of a pontiff.
So like we're on a soap box? Is that what he was?
To serve
yeah,
as a bishop.
Like
yeah.
we like give credit to hot takes and such. Like we hold them to a high level.
I don't feel like that's an accurate statement.
Yeah. We should have a segment about him. That's right. Fine. A few episodes ago, we kind of focused on the bad teams, talking about teams and whether they should tank or and pack it all in, whether they should keep going, trying to win with what they got. This week, we're going to be talking a little more of the good side of basketball,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about kind of our early MVP indications as, this year's MVP race, again, we are still very early in the season. This is by no means remotely definitive, but it's been a pretty tight and great race so far. I think there's about four, five, six different players who honestly have legitimate MVP arguments.
Not to cut you off, how funny is it, though, that all three players that used to be on the Thunder are kind of in this discussion?
Between, well, one of them is still there.
Yeah, but also Harden and Durant are in this discussion.
Yeah, yeah. How did the Thunder not win a championship with the four of them?
Oh, man. Yeah. It's going to go down as one of the greatest front office failures of all time.
Well, and it's like you drafted in three straight years probably three of the top six players and definitely one of the top three at the minimum.
And Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, right. So it's like, and oh, by the way, and a really good Serge Ibaka.
Right.
It's nuts.
No.
And Kendrick Perkins.
They didn't draft Kendrick Perkins.
No, but they had him.
They did. The thing is, their lineup was so good, it wouldn't have mattered who their center was.
Right. Well, wasn't Ibaka playing their center, or was he playing the four?
No, he was playing the four. Okay. Yeah, they had Perkins. I think they had somebody else back in the day. Regardless, it wouldn't have mattered who else was on that roster.
Yeah.
Anyways, not to keep harping on Oklahoma City fans, we should probably talk about, one of the first.
Can you imagine being an Oklahoma City fan, though?
And you right now, though, you have Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is on an absolute rampage. He is still averaging a triple-double, which is absolutely bananas.
Speaking of talking
about the first
about
person since Oscar Robertson, which I think is being talked about a lot. Also, shout out to Oscar Robertson, man. I feel like whenever they interview older players, and Robertson's been a classy guy his entire career, but, like, whenever they talk about older players, they kind of, like, throw that little side jab in there. But, like, oh, yeah, but if he was playing in my era, that never would have happened.
Right.
And they interviewed him the other day on ESPN about Westbrook and, the potential of Westbrook averaging a triple-double for the season and being the first guy since him. And Robertson was just pretty much like, no, yeah, that's amazing. I hope he does it.
Well, and the fact that he's a guard.
Right. Well, the other thing that just a shout out to Chris Axman, who he was tweeting with or me the other day. He was saying, people who say Westbrook is inefficient, so is the Hulk. All that matters is that he destroys the bad guy, even if he destroys everything in his process.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. And yeah. That's kind of the difference between Westbrook and Harden is that Westbrook has his team at the top of their division.
Mm-hmm.
Above the Utah Jazz, which I don't think anybody anticipated. I know that right at the very beginning of the season, I did the NBA roundtable discussion, and I was the only one in the entire discussion, and these guys are much, much smarter than me.
Geniuses.
He said, no, I'm pretty sure that the Thunder are going to actually be all right this season.
Yeah.
And all of them thought they were going to be this, like, bottom-tier team. Well, for the most part, this bottom-tier team, but now they're out above the Jazz. Russell Westbrook had four triple doubles last week. So
yeah,
he's six all time. Ahead of him is Larry Bird with 59. Just ahead of Larry Bird is Wilt Chamberlain with 78.
Well, I think the Westbrook narrative kind of took a hit a little bit last week. They had three straight losses against the Pacers, against the Lakers, and against the Kings. So those are not ideally games you want to lose if you're a legit playoff team. But since then, they've responded. They beat Denver. They beat Detroit. They beat the Knicks in New York. They beat Washington.
I would argue those are teams you're supposed to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it hasn't exactly been a terribly difficult schedule so far. But they do, I don't want to sit here and act like they don't have some quality wins. They beat the Clippers.
Well, you can only beat who you're playing.
Yeah. They beat the Clippers. They had that win against Houston, so that's another quality win. But again, yeah, to Tim's point, you can only beat who you're playing. If Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double for the season and his team makes the playoffs, I don't know how it can be anyone other than him.
Well,
I'm just going to put that out.
That just
there.
Brings up my question, though. If he averages a triple-double and he gets into the playoffs, but say it's only like an eighth seed and they only beat out whoever's the ninth by like one game, like, do you still give it to him because they just barely got it?
Nobody's done average a triple-double in almost 50 years.
Right, and a lot of the other higher-up NBA players are saying it's a lot harder to do a triple-double now in this day and age of a game because of the pace and how efficient everybody is. I guess the pace in history was faster, and a lot of people were missing more shots, so at least your rebounding rate is able to be a lot higher.
Russell Westbrook has out-rebounded Blake Griffin this year.
Yeah, yeah. And also, not to knock Harden. Like, Harden's getting a lot of rebounds, too. And I think that's going under the radar.
Yeah, Tim mentioned that the Rockets were not, you know, hanging with the Thunder. The Rockets are higher than the Thunder right now. They have some impressive wins. They beat the Warriors the other night, 13-7 as of our time recording this. But, you know, Harden's got, you know, the stats may not be as gaudy, but Harden is having every bit as good of a year as Westbrook is. I mean, he had, again, like we said, triple-double the other night, his fourth of the season against Golden State. It was crazy. I remember Patrick Beverley at the beginning of the season with Basketball Insiders. He had that quote that we all kind of laughed at, where he was like, James Harden is going to win the MVP, and the Rockets are going to go to the finals. And I mean, I think half of that might be right, potentially.
No, I don't. I don't think so. Part of the reason the Rockets have been so good, though, is, you know, they're bringing Eric Gordon off the bench now, and
his
percentage is just skyrocketing.
Well, and the one thing that really frustrated me, and I wish I could give the right podcast the credit, but they were talking about why they weren't surprised Harden's assist, you know, rate was through the roof. And they're like, well, when you take away his players and you give him, you know, Anderson, who's a way better shooter than the guys he had last year, his assist rate's going to go up.
Well, not this season. Anderson's shooting like 40%.
But he's drawing to the other players, and then you bring in Gordon, like you're saying, all these guys who are in theory better shooters than what he had last year.
And he's throwing up lobs to Clint Capella. And
yep.
If you look at the counting stats, it really is crazy how close, you know, these guys are, like, in terms of free throws. Westbrook and Harden are 1-2. Free throw attempts, Westbrook and Harden are 1-2. Assists, Harden actually has more than Westbrook right now by 10, but it's just another category where they're so close. I mean, this is a race. And the thing with both of these guys, too, is you look at Houston and the way Harden's been, you know, orchestrating every bit of that offense when he's on the floor. And you look at Oklahoma City and you go, where in the world would that team be without Russell Westbrook right now? We're talking about maybe one of the worst teams in the league. And when you look at most valuable player, I mean, these are two guys who are just, in terms of the pure sense of value, will get so elevated throughout the year, because if you take them off their teams, neither of them are, you know, not even close to as successful as they've been so far to start the year.
So I was comparing Westbrook and Harden on NBA.com, which is, like, weirdly I find so enjoyable to do, is just compare players.
More than Basketball Reference?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Because, like, you could just put them there and, like, they color code everything. So it's like, I don't know.
I just wish the stats on Basketball Reference were the same.
They're never the same. I don't know where the difference
so
is.
So I just always roll with Basketball Reference.
Right. So I don't know. So yes, there's always a discrepancy there. But looking at the advanced stats between Westbrook and Harden, like their offensive and defensive rating and their net rating, like everything's so close. Like Westbrook's net rating is 6.3. Harden's 6.0. Like, their assist rate are both above 51%. Like, assist to turnover ratio, they're about 2.12 right there for Harden. Like,
yeah, and
they're so close in everything.
Right, even if you go advanced, their win shares, Harden's only a little bit above them. Westbrook's leading the league in VORP right now. Harden's sitting there at number three. And
the league in VORP?
Westbrook is leading the league in VORP right now. Yeah, 2.9.
That is really, really impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Westbrook's at 2.9. Chris Paul's in second at 2.3. And we got to talk about Chris Paul in a bit.
Hold on, real quick, though. Assuming you were an NBA GM, mm-hmm. you had to pay them the same amount of money, but you could only take one player on your team.
Out of these two,
who do you put on your team?
I mean, okay, I guess the side question is, like, what are the other players around?
No, you build around
Westbrook.
Westbrook.
Harden's, right. Harden's defense is a little, like, Westbrook's not a great defender either. But
I don't even think it's a defender thing. I think it's a winner mentality.
So here's the other thing.
I think Harden's got a winner mentality too.
Like, Westbrook wants to win. I mean, Westbrook, like,
he's angry.
That dude just wants to win.
Angry.
Well, yeah. Well, it also helps he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got spurned by KD this year.
He's always had a chip on his shoulder.
You don't think Harden has a chip on his shoulder, with the way everybody talked down on him last year?
I think Harden loves to play basketball, and I think Harden also really loves to go out and to party and have a nightlife and be a star. Mm-hmm. I think Westbrook is married. He doesn't go out. The only thing this dude cares about is winning basketball games. And to me, that just makes him a better player.
He's getting the heavy Michael Jordan cosign in terms of, like, Jordan is going to events to, you know, to present him with awards. And so I think there's that, you know, that kind of mentality there. I'm not saying it translates into that necessarily, but I think, you know, they see a little bit of each other there in terms of that just sheer will to win mentality.
Yeah, I mean, it's Kobe-esque.
whatever you think
of Kobe.
He's a monster. Like, and that's the thing is, like, both these guys are playing so well, but in the end, I think Westbrook
is so much more likable than Kobe, though, and Jordan to an extent.
You know, Jordan had a gambling problem.
Yes.
How do you guys feel about gambling?
I don't enjoy it.
I feel weird when I drop like $150 and like don't win anything, and then in my mind I'm just thinking about all the hard work I put in to get that $150.
But you FanDuel though.
Yeah, but that's like $1 a week. Like I put in like $5 a week. That's like way less than $150 in the amount of 45 minutes. Like this is a full week of literally planning and doing stuff because I do. NBA I stay away from because it's a little bit harder because injuries and
oh, I never bet
sitting.
Lines on the NBA.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
but like NFL is like I have a whole week to really do it.
Oh, I would if I had time, absolutely.
You think you would?
There's so many different like betting lines that you can do with the NBA, and as long as you do your research.
Yeah, no, you're good.
I don't sports bet, period, for what
it's
worth.
But you need an hour to 3 hours of really looking into it. Like I did make a lineup the other day when Connolly went down with their backup point guard that I had read they were going to use more of because he was really cheap. And he ended up getting a good amount of points, and like I got money off of it because it's like not many people.
It was like 21-8 in that debut.
It's all about using the player that less people are going to use to get the same amount of points,
right?
Because then you have more money to put towards the bigger players,
and then you want to put in pace. So, for example, if you are trying to get FanDuel points, always pick the team that's playing the Suns.
Or the Sixers or the Kings.
Or the Trailblazers, if you're looking for counting
Kevin
stats.
Kevin Durant, by the way, against the Suns, he had 20 points on 7 shots.
Yep.
On seven shots.
Which I guess we should get back to what we were talking about, the MVP race. You're listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rafees, Tim Tompkins, Justin Cousard. Follow us on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA. And another one of these candidates, you know, we talked about Westbrook and Harden. Obviously, both of them, at least for me, that's 1 and 2 right now. But you know, we talk at the beginning of the season. The question was when Kevin Durant went to Golden State. We know Curry's won this award back to back. You ask yourself the question, though, with that many shooters, with Curry, with Durant, with Klay Thompson, with Draymond Green, can somebody put up the numbers or just be efficient enough and dominate games enough to be the MVP? And boy, Kevin Durant is really trying because this just the pure efficiency of his game right now is unbelievable.
Well, and I mean the thing with Kevin Durant is it's a defensive thing too. Like he's really trying hard on defense right now. I think I read a stat last year he had a total of 10 blocks on the season, and I think it must have been at the beginning of the week he was at like 25 this season already. And so like he's really showing up on the defensive end, and it actually made me bring up the question on Twitter the other day, like, is Draymond Green the defensive guy that we're talking about for the Warriors, or is it Durant?
Draymond Green is absolutely one of the defensive guys we're talking about for the Warriors. He literally guards their one. He can guard 1 through 5.
I need Draymond Green to get out of the league.
Why is that?
I officially hate this guy.
That is spicy. Good Lord,
dude. You can go on YouTube and watch a reel of him kicking people. And I got to tell you, I thought the Harden one was ridiculous. Justin, you didn't agree with me.
I don't agree with the Harden one.
Fine. But at a certain point, when you keep kicking people,
right,
it is the player. So over the weekend against the Suns, Draymond Green kicks Marquese Chris in the hand, drawing a foul behind the three-point line. I already was tired of this, and part of this had to do with his tweet storm that he put up that I take exception to, that we can get into, and you can get into that if you want. I don't really care.
Yeah, we can talk about it. But
at a certain point, you have to stop kicking people.
So, yeah, so this is the thing. When we had talked about this, obviously the Chris kick hadn't happened, and I'll have to look at that in a second because that's not the one I was speaking to when we were talking about this on Twitter, at least. And My whole thing with the Harden one is when he goes, he's jumping forward to the basket, and when Harden goes up with him, they kind of bump chests almost, which then knocks Draymond Green backwards. At Nick_Jensen486, he was saying, if you have a second, whenever you do, everybody listening too can do this, you close your eyes and lean backwards, and you know, you're going to feel like you're falling. The first thing your body's going to do to counterbalance the weight of your body going backwards is kick up your your leg because everything else is going backwards. So your leg's trying to come up so that, you know, it's almost like you're on a balance beam. You'll come back down. And so now imagine doing that in midair while right after you had just thrown your body weight back trying to throw a ball up. That's why his leg came up. He's got 2 inches on Harden. He was in the air coming down. Harden was standing. He wasn't in the air any longer. So the leg being there was, it was an angle thing with the weight distribution. So with Harden's, I don't think it was a bad, he intentionally did it. But
okay, now,
it
now.
Speaks to the fact that he's had this problem in the past that right? everyone's going
well,
to assume.
That's the thing. Before I let Tim go off, because I know Tim is going to go off, so no, I'm going to let Tim have the spotlight.
Justin, can you watch this while Kevin's talking?
Okay.
I tweeted it out.
I was going to say, because I'm gonna let Tim, Tim's got a ramp bone, so I'm going to let Tim do his thing here in a second. Go. I will say this if you're Draymond Green. Regardless of whether or not it is intentional, yes, you are marked because you did it multiple times to have it out.
No. We did. It's Tim's birthday today.
Holy hell, it is Tim's birthday. Happy birthday, Tim Tompkins. He hates that we know that.
You have Twitter to blame. A whole bunch of balloons just came up.
Yeah, Tim really does hate this. We'll move on. The point is, regardless of what happens here, Draymond Green now has a reputation for this. And when you have a reputation for this, you have to play smart. Constantly putting yourself in this position is not playing smart. It's not. You can't get away with it being unintentional anymore. It's not unintentional. It becomes a pattern. You know, do I think this happens where players fall back and flail up a little bit? Yeah, I do. I think it happens. You know, I think you can go back and look at other instances of that. That's when it happens once. Like, this hasn't happened once. This is becoming a pattern. You know, you kick James Harden on the back of the head. The Marquise Chris play to an extent. You know, Draymond Green is marked, is my point. But it's just like, you got to stop complaining about it, and you just got to be smarter. Like, people are going to be watching for this now. That's the thing, is people are going to pay every attention. And the second his foot goes up even a little bit, somebody on Twitter is going to put it out there, and it's going to take off. He's got to play smarter.
I think it's Nate Duncan, his Twitter. He was posting a lot of other players other than Draymond that are going for rebounds, and their legs are up as high as him. Just saying, like, I forget what he was saying, but he was not trolling, but he was trying to make the point that everybody...
It's just an interesting, like, argument to fall, like, really fight to the death on. Like, right. Just Draymond, all you can sum it up with is Draymond Green needs to play smarter. Like, period. Well, like, Draymond Green is a great basketball player. We all know this. Like, he absolutely is the heart of that Warriors defense. He is an elite defensive player who could very well win Defensive Player of the Year, and it's been in the conversation. But he's got to play smarter. Like, people are watching for this now.
Yeah, the Chris one's bad.
Kevin, did you watch it?
I'm watching it now.
Yeah, the Chris one's bad. There's no exception to that. And that's what I'm saying is, like, so even on the ones that are going to be accidents, because accidents happen, that's fine. You are marked. You have done this in the past, and you keep kicking people, dude. Like,
like at the very least, control your legs. If it's an accident,
I'm curious
how many times is an accident. How many times? It's the same argument I had with when Deli kept diving at people's knees. It's not that I thought Deli was specifically dirty. My argument behind it was you're playing out of control. So you need to control your body.
My curious, just out of curiosity, I wonder how late into the game Draymond Green started playing basketball, because it seems like a guy that isn't coordinated.
This seems like pretty talented stuff.
That kick is hilarious. But, oh, man. But,
it's behind the three-point line.
Oh, I'm sorry, Justin. This is so funny. He, like, did a spinning motion and brought it up and everything. Oh, man.
Looking at it from an aspect of why this guy's flailing around like he's uncoordinated, like, how much did he play in high school, I guess, is my question. Like, it seems like a guy who didn't play basketball much growing up, in my opinion.
Do we know that for a fact?
That's what I'm saying, is I don't know. But looking at the way he's flailing around like that, it looks like a guy who hasn't played his whole life.
I just, like, we are not athletes. I get that. We play pickup basketball.
We do.
It's not nearly the same thing at the same time.
It's lit, though.
There are literally no times in which I've ever seen anybody kick somebody, let alone consistently. And yes. my problem with Draymond Green, it bothered me before, but if you go to his Twitter, and then after he kicked James Harden in the head, he tweeted out marked.
Which he is.
Well, I mean, that's a fact.
That bothered me. Then he goes and he tweets out pictures of Will Smith from Bad Boys, and he starts tweeting out pictures of the Pistons Bad Boys. No, they got in fights. They didn't kick people in the head while they were playing basketball. They didn't do what he did to Marquise Chris.
Would you rather him clothesline somebody? Because that's what the Pistons used to do.
I wouldn't, but don't put yourself on that level. You're just kicking people when they don't expect it. There is a difference.
No, I kind of like you. You got to embrace the villain. It's like you're not nobody in the league in 2016 is going to get into fights. I don't want my players getting into fights.
But the difference is that the Pistons owned it, whereas Draymond Green is like, what'd I do?
No, he's trying to own it though. I feel like when he's putting up the bad boy stuff.
In game, own it then. Own it in game. Don't turn around like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. No. No, own it. I don't even want to see him play basketball anymore. I'm so tired of this.
Man, coming on strong. Side note, when the Warriors beat the Suns, that was their 106th regular season game without losing two in a row. Now, do not let that distract you from the fact that they blew a 3-1 lead in the finals.
Right.
But that is really impressive. We got to be nice to Warriors. We got to talk about the Warriors' nice things. We're hating on them too much.
The Cavs lost 3 straight games.
Yeah.
The Hawks have now lost 6 straight games.
I think
games
the Hawks
have
to do a little bit with their turnovers. They're up to like 17 a game.
Well,
bottom of the league, below the Sixers.
There's a bunch of issues, really, that have to do with the Hawks losing. But what do you guys think about the Cavs losing 3 straight?
I think this could literally not be less of a deal.
I don't think
I mean, LeBron made the comments the honeymoon phase is over, which the honeymoon phase is over. Like, we're well into a new season now. The ring ceremony was almost 20 games ago. Like, it's time to move on.
We had an interview with someone, maybe it was Justin Rowan. I think it was Justin, where he was saying, this year, LeBron's going to shoot less. He's going to distribute more.
Yeah, and that's LeBron's kind of what's still quietly averaging like 24-9.
But he is distributing more. He's making a lot of passes.
Yeah,
he's letting
passer in the league.
He's letting Kyrie and Love do
things. So I posed this question on our Twitter at @DriveAndDishNBA. I said, when was the last time the Cavs won a game where LeBron didn't play?
Kevin Love and Kyrie could win games. Like,
well, right. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of surrounding him with talent.
Right.
Is that you surround him with talent that way? In theory, they could win a game.
I would bet on that team winning a game with those guys.
But I wouldn't.
Why not?
Because they don't.
But how much of a sample size, I guess, do we have of that? And, you know, and then you got to look at the teams that they did play when LeBron's out. Like,
right.
if it's the Warriors and LeBron sitting out, well, of course.
No, we could go back and look at, like, last season when LeBron took a couple weeks off, which really
hurt. 2 weeks, I think it was.
Yeah, hurt his chances.
It's
for
just
them
like this race. Happens. The Cavs do this all the time. They do it every year. There's bad streaks. They'll lose games. People will make fake panic. Start acting like there's all sorts of issues. LeBron will send some dumb subtweet and where they just gets dissected by the media for like, you know, the next 3 or 4 days when it really doesn't mean a single thing. And the Cavs come June will be right back in the finals playing probably Golden State. You know, maybe the Clippers or Spurs surprise us, but probably playing Golden State. And we're not going to be worried about this 3-game win streak in November and December.
Well, they might not be playing Golden State.
Do you want to bet on that?
Kevin, would you bet on that?
What, Cavs Golden State?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you would? Yeah, for sure. Have you watched Golden State
I've
recently?
I've tried to get you to bet me on so many things, and you never will. But this is like, this
well,
is where
this
you
one
draw
seems
the
very,
line.
Very.
I bet you on a few things, but yeah, I'll definitely bet you on this for sure.
All right.
Golden State, have you watched Golden State recently?
All right, $20 that is not going to be Cavs Golden State.
Done.
All right.
Well, so, Tim, you'll love this article then. I found this article on Real GM by Johnny Opping. He wrote that DeMarcus Cousins can be a backup plan for the Warriors, Cavs, or Clippers. And he explained that they're the teams that the Kings would really consider trading him to because they have somebody that they could trade for. Like and I believe the guys he rattled off were Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Love, or DeAndre Jordan. Because he's younger and you have him on contract for 4 years.
Yeah, they have like 5 centers.
Klay Thompson?
Oh.
Klay Thompson.
No, I thought you were talking about Tristan Thompson.
No. Klay Thompson. And so they're saying, you know, all these guys are on contracts longer than Boogie, and then these guys can trade for him and bring him in. So like the Cavs send Kevin Love, and you get Kevin Love for, I think, 4 more years or something and in Sacramento where you can build around him and start a team. Klay Thompson, same idea. Draymond Green, same idea. DeAndre Jordan, same idea. Surprisingly, Klay Thompson and Cousins have very similar contracts.
If
like,
you were the Warriors,
wise.
Would you trade
Thompson for Cousins? So I got into an argument on Twitter about that. I tweeted Johnny saying, dude, I like this article. I wonder if Warriors fans would consider that. And they were saying, then who would you put at shooting guard? And I was like, well, why not Ian Clark? And they're like, you give up a lot of defense. And then I was like, but doesn't Cousins, Green, and Durant down low make up for that? And then he was like, probably not.
Well, the thing is, in the Warriors' death lineup, like the Warriors' best lineup, if you put Draymond at the five, like you can just run KD and Steph and Clay out there and, along with Iggy, and you have, you know, you have a lot of offense. There's no reason to really tweak with that. It's working. Like, don't get me wrong. Boogie would obviously be a huge upgrade for the Warriors at the center position, but when your defense is so built around Draymond Green, it just kind of seems repetitive.
Well, I guess the question, the one that really intrigued me was the DeAndre Jordan Cousins swap.
Why is that good for the Kings either, though? I mean, they have like five centers.
But that was the first argument I heard against it was there's no point.
Yeah, also, just
for
Boogie's
them.
Better than DeAndre Jordan. Like, there'd be a loss for the Kings.
Yeah, but you get the problem is the contract is Cousins, if he's clearly not coming back. If he has said, I'm not going to come to Sacramento.
I'm not arguing that you trade Cousins. I'm all in the trade Cousins.
Right. It's the Sacramento receiving end that's in question. If you can get Kevin Love, I think you would do it as well.
Yeah. I absolutely think that you would because I got like Cousins ain't coming back.
But could you imagine if Love went to Sacramento and they brought in Cousins? Do you like? Would you be more behind the Cavs winning it again over the death lineup that is the Warriors?
I am going all in on any team beating the Warriors this year.
You're against them. Are you against Green or are you against the Warriors?
I don't out of all the teams in the NBA to watch, the Warriors are the one I enjoy watching pretty much the least up there.
Really?
Like the Nets, because they just, I don't like blowout games.
Yeah. That's fair.
And it's just a blowout game. You know, like over the weekend when they're playing the Suns, right? They're up by like 30 in the fourth quarter. And the Suns were able to roll out a lineup of Tyler Ulis, John Jenkins, Dragan Bender, Marquise Chris, and Alan Williams. Mm-hmm. And it was a glorious lineup that all Suns fans, and I just watched that.
You're excited with that. I get it. Hey, just wanted to take a second to remind you guys, download the SeatGeek app and use the promo code DISH. You'll save yourself $20 on your next ticket purchase.
You've got mail.
Gather around, everyone.
Oh, boy.
All right, so the first question in our mailbag this week, it's on Twitter. It's from Teamwork Dreamwork at NBA Dreamwork. He asks us, since everyone's talking about the Clippers lately, do you think they'll actually make it to the conference finals this time around?
I think with the Clippers, anything less than a conference finals
is going to blow up the team.
Yeah.
I mean, well, here's the thing about blowing it up is that they don't have any draft picks. They don't have any young players are developing. Kevin made the point about Austin Rivers earlier, but, you know, whatever on that.
Oh, that's a very sarcastic point.
But I just I think with this team right here that anything less than a conference finals is just, a sheer disappointment for them.
Oh, yeah.
That being said is that they have an owner that doesn't care at all about going into the luxury tax. They're going to have to, I think Chris Paul and Blake, I know Blake Griffin's contract's up at the end of the year, but I think Chris Paul's is too. But, you know, if you're an owner that doesn't care about spending money and keep it together, I mean, what else? Like, they aren't in a position now where they can just say, okay, well, we're going to rebuild.
Like, F it. We're done.
Yeah. Right.
Do you think they make it, though?
I mean, you know, it's all health with this team. I think that their bench is better than it's really ever been, you know, but do they make it past the Spurs? Right now they're in the 3 seed, but do they make it past the Spurs? The one thing I will say is I think that the NBA really wants to see Clippers Warriors Western Conference Finals.
Are you being a conspiracy theorist?
Yes, that's a yes.
I think they make it this year, though. If they're healthy, I think they
make
it this year.
Not if the claw has anything to do with it.
I have them. They beat the Spurs 2 years ago.
I'm just
not in on the Spurs this year. I don't know what it is about them.
No, it's and they're pretty solid.
You can only get slapped in the face so many times until you realize you're going to get slapped in the face.
The Spurs are just going to keep winning?
Or no, well, that and the Clippers are just going to, you know, never live up to the hype.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's possible, too.
I picked him as number two. I'm gonna stick to my preseason picks here. I'm not ready to bail yet. All right, so the next question comes from Aaron Ramadanoff. He asks us, if you're Dirk Nowitzki, what do you do with the rest of your career?
See, that's funny, is it? So he's on a 1-1 with a team option for next year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if he can't play, I'm sure Mark Cuban would be like, do you want us to pick this up or not?
Or like, and like, I'm sure once he's out, he's still going to like land himself a front office job or he's going to be involved.
He doesn't want to go play for somebody else.
Right. No. He's going to be involved. You're a man for life. It's, right. He's a Mav.
Yeah, if he wanted to leave, he could have left by now. And for what it's worth, he's trying to play through these games right now. That Achilles just not giving him any time. And we know that's such a difficult injury, but you know he's trying to get into the
game. The thing with that, too,
and they are paying him $20 million.
The other thing, too, with that, at least, is like, at least it could be worse. Like, if the team was, like, winning a lot and you were kind of in the running, like, you would want to come back from that injury quicker. Like, now that they're losing, like, all right, take the time, heal up, get back in the game.
I mean, that's all very true. I mean, you look at the Mavericks this year. Dirk's played just 5 games. Deron Williams, JJ Barea, Devin Harris, they've all missed at least 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Their beginning schedule was the league's toughest to date. 10 of their 17 games were against teams that currently hold winning records. Mm-hmm. of 12 and 17 against teams that rank in the top 10 in either offensive or defensive efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at their schedule in December, it's not much better. it's rough for the Mavericks. You know, if they do end up getting that high draft pick and they go ahead and they draft a point guard or something, because it seems like it's going to be a point guard heavy draft.
Definitely.
Rick Carlisle has never really been known to be that forgiving with point guards, as much as his systems are so guard reliant.
Right.
He's never really been in a position to develop a young guard. Like, who's the last guard that Rick Carlisle developed?
Yeah, the fact that we have to think this long about it, I think sums up the point pretty well right there. So next question comes from Jimmy Bowler. Jimmy asks us, are the exorbitant number of timeouts ruining NBA games? The final 5 minutes and 2 overtimes in the Warriors-Rockets game were interminable.
Dude, the last minute, whenever it gets to the last minute of a close NBA game, I just go, God damn it.
But also, it's kind of exciting to watch the play they call out of it, they draw up. You know what I mean?
Talk about this actual question first. There were two awesome words in there again. We are killing it today with the $1,000 vocabulary words
from
$1 million.
Us or from the listeners?
From the listeners.
Oh yeah, the listeners are killing.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
We are not, because we're uninformed.
But it's on the episode,
mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm. Basic vocabulary over here. No, but the thing is, it sucks when they take so many timeouts, but it's I find it really exciting to watch the play that the coach drew up and see if they can get it to work. They had this guy screen on this guy to free up whoever, and that's the person that took the shot, or that was all fake to free up this guy on the other side of the end. I get excited about that.
I get it. It can really draw out. I do think with the replays, though, is that they, had the replay center for a reason, and that there's just they got to get the replays quicker.
What if they did something it with NFL? It's you get challenges and each coach gets two, and then if you get it wrong in the challenge.
Well, that's funny. Jimmy asked that. He said if a coach gets, should they adopt the same replay system as tennis, where a coach gets one incorrect challenge per half?
Yes, because I will see plays that look blatantly incorrect, and the coach is telling them to replay it, and they can't.
Right, so it would be cool if they do that, and then they have two for the game or something, and they tell them to replay it, and they do, and it's against them, then they lose their chance to do that again.
Right.
Be kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I'm all about it.
Yeah. So next question comes from George Ingerman. George asks us, who's more likely to return to the All-Star game, Kevin Love or Dwight Howard or both?
Kevin Love.
You think Love?
Yeah.
Howard's having a pretty good game or year, too, but I guess there's so many centers.
Kevin Love also gets the attention for being on the Cavs. Yep. The Cavs just flat out get more attention than the Hawks do.
And the Hawks are kind of on this downward spiral.
And Love's counting numbers just are, they're fantastic so far. And a lot of times, with it being a fan vote type of deal, it's a lot of name recognition. It's a lot of counting numbers.
A lot of people know Dwight's name.
Sure, but I feel like Dwight's Dwight since the Lakers in terms of recognition.
Oh, I guess he's voting for the All-Star crap,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe both.
Yeah. Fan voting.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. I feel like, are people thinking about Dwight in Atlanta, the common NBA fan?
If you're,
no one cares.
If the Hawks are winning again,
they don't even show up to their home games.
Unless it's Tinder
night. And it's a giant city. It's not like they're in a small market.
Hey, no, Gucci Mane got engaged at a Hawks game.
He did. Did you see that?
Did you see the reaction from his fiance? She was I'm saying yes to this.
No,
but she was with him from
excited.
She's a day one. She's a day one girl. She's been with him.
Yeah.
You gotta stop hating.
Also, less than thrilled this was how he was doing it.
Gucci Mane did not get on one knee. He straight up stood, proposed, and opened it, and it was there you go. What a beautiful year.
It's been a year.
All right, so the next question comes from Stuart O'Kell. He asks us, should the NBA just abandon the travel rule totally?
Well, I mean, they don't ever call it.
I feel like a lot of people are confusing the Euro step with a travel.
That one with Bogdanovic, that was a double dribble, but that was so bad.
Yeah, no, I don't get me wrong. There's a lot that are bad, but a lot of times when I hear people like, that was a travel, I was like, was it? Or
am
was
I
it
the
Euro
only
step?
One who's cool with the way they're calling travels? I mean, there have been some blatant ones. Like the Nick Young game winner was definitely a travel when he stole the ball from Lou Will.
Right. Well, some of the ones that they do call, I just kind of get irritated that they called it.
Well, because it's like these guys are professionals. They don't. In my mind, they shouldn't be doing that.
I mean, there's sometimes...
It's also about, all of a sudden there's a big thing in your way, and you're like, I get it, you know? But I don't.
Put the ball on the floor one time.
Yeah.
Go to pump fake or something, then they go again.
I still get confused with the spin move that Biggs will do, where they, dribble, spin move, take a step, and go up. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, that's a travel, but I guess it's not. But
I try and do a spin move on a basketball court. My body does not know how to do
it. I'm learning
it. I don't know what to do.
I'm learning it, and I've been doing it in practicing now that my ankle is starting to get a little bit better, and I still think it's a travel.
Mm-hmm. So it feels like one.
It feels like a travel, so maybe it is. I we'll have to see.
The Euro step. Or what did LeBron call it, back in 08 when he got called for a travel to lose that game against the Wizards, he called it a crab dribble.
Crab step or
the crab dribble.
Oh, you let him do what he's gotta do.
Yeah, I mean
LeBron.
Whatever. I'm fine with the travel rules. It's kinda just call it, but whatever.
It's like holding in football. It just happens.
Well, it's just kinda hilarious. It's you could call a travel on probably every play.
Yeah.
So I just don't, really want them to dilute the product that much. All right, next question comes from Cupboard Horsington. He asks us, who would win in a 100-meter race, Zeebo or Boris Diaw? I'm going to go with Boris Diaw.
Is he allowed to drink his coffee?
Well,
that's
what I mean. He's got the espresso machine. Yeah. He's naturally going to be wired up. I'm going with Diaw.
No, I'm going Zeebo. Zeebo's been healthy.
I wonder if they have stats on how fast they run a 40. Do they track that
a
40? Do in football?
I mean, I doubt it. They're tracking how much they're running.
I was looking at that stat the other day about miles ran on defense or something.
Is it so Kawhi Leonard?
No, it was actually the Portland team. Lillard was number one at the moment.
Really?
That's shocking.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I thought you were going to say James Harden.
No.
We have one listener, Trent Arnold. Dude is he's so James Harden. So he stays tweeting about James Harden. James Harden needs to send that guy a signed jersey.
Dude.
He will.
He is on a James Harden campaign.
So he's the equivalent of Justin and I with Joel Embiid.
It is. This dude just all day tweets about it. Kevin, you don't really tweet all that much. Justin, you do, but it's not always about Joel Embiid.
Memes. I really like making memes. Again, with that comment.
Can you put that on your resume?
I really like making memes.
I mean, can you just remember when memes didn't exist?
Right.
Well, no, it's just remember when memes were just kind of niche internet humor?
No, but I really
only
like...
people that were on the birth of Reddit and kind of that all stayed contained, and now memes actually determine presidential elections.
Like Ken Boone.
Why don't you call him Ken Boone?
Bone. Ken Bone. Yeah, that guy's.
I know if that was a Stephen Curry thing.
No, really. Look it up, though. Google it.
No, cool.
I really like the one of the Kermit the Frog looking at the Sith Kermit the Frog, and I really like making NBA
ones. That meme
ones
is
about
great,
it.
Dude.
Being like, NBA, Westbrook's going to average a triple-double, and then the one being like, let Harden finally...
Dude, yeah, I agree, but that's just such an overplayed meme now.
Now people after are just like, they're not funny anymore. Right. That's the thing. The second a meme starts being funny, it was with all the Harambe memes and the Sippin' Tea memes, it's there will always be moments where they are still funny if played right. But now they've been so played out that just the unfunny ratio to funny ratio is not where it needs to be.
It's not like the assist ratio that Harden and Westbrook have.
They are very high. Well, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. We appreciate you guys. Check out our website, driveanddishpodcast.com. You can see all of our sponsors and get all of our episodes there. If you are an Apple user, make sure you check us out on iTunes and subscribe there. If you are an Android or other phone user, make sure you check us on the Google Play Store, on TuneIn, on Player FM, and on Stitcher. Also want to thank Blog Talk Radio, as always, for hosting the show.
And download the SeatGeek app. It's free for both Android and Apple devices. And put in the promo code DISH. Do it right now. Then the next time that you need to go buy tickets, that promo code is already in there. Mm-hmm. And it really is supporting the show. And really, it's a free app and you get $20.
And find us on the web at driveanddishpodcast.com. And find us on social by searching Drive and Dish on anything. Social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
I think we've done enough dancing for today. So why don't we dance Wednesday?
See you, Starside.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Good job.
it home!
Da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
Let's go while we're young!
All right, I think they get the point.